Thank you so much for inviting me. Good afternoon. Yeah, I hope you don't mind if I can just stand here because it's closer. And, okay, so my name is Jessica, and today I'm going to talk about abundant life. Okay, abundant life as we read in the scripture, or life in full. And I'm going to share my mission stories too. And I work for Canadian Campus Evangelical Fellowship. What I do most of my time, I draw. What do I draw? Here you can see Bible verses every day, so daily calendars. If you're interested, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook. They're mostly in Chinese, but we have calendars in English as well. So I'm going to start with sharing my stories. Can we flip it?
No, it's on.
Is it on?
Sure.
Yeah, it's on. So, how many of you are born in China or Asia? And the rest of you are born in Canada. So how many of you born in a Christian family? Ah, okay, so I see more than half of you. So I was born in a Christian family in Taiwan. And even though I was born in a Christian family, actually the third generation Christian, but I didn't really believe in God. Okay, I didn't really believe in God because my parents believed in God. Because I thought, okay, all religions are good, all religions teach you good things, but is there God? I'm not sure, not necessarily, so I wasn't really a believer. However, I couldn't find the meaning of life. How many of you are thinking about what's the meaning of life? Let's see if you are, see if you are philosophical like me. No, so you don't really think about it, you just think about the food. I was a bit of a philosopher since kindergarten. Okay, I've been thinking about what's the meaning of life. Okay, my parents tell me to study hard. Okay, I try to get a good grade for what? For getting a good university. Why do I want to get into a good university? Because I want to graduate and I want to get a good job. Why did I want to get a good job? Because then you can get a good pay. A good life, a happier life, and then what? And then you die, okay? So you're born, and you work so hard, and at the end, you die. So what's the meaning of life? I couldn't figure it out. So I was a bit of a philosopher on the toilet, because I would go to the bathroom and sit on the toilet, and do you know the thinker? Okay, this remote is not really working. Sorry. Can you flip to page 2? Do you know the sculpture, the famous sculpture, the thinker? Yeah, you do this. So I do that a lot on my toilet time. So my family thought, oh, she has constipation, but no, I don't. Because I was thinking about life. What happens when you cannot figure out life? Then maybe you will think about committing suicide, okay? If you cannot figure out the meaning of life, you want to die, which is really sad. How many of you thought about suicide? I think some of us have. So in the meantime, I still go to church. I went to church every week, almost every week, because of what? Why do you come to church? Because my parents forced me to, yes. So like many of you, your parents forced you to church. Okay, so I went to church because my parents forced me to go. And I found it really boring. Okay, I was sitting there and, you know, just thinking of my own things. However, it is good that your parents forced you to come to church because God actually started talking to me during church. For example, 1 week, okay, I had a fight with my mom. I thought, oh, I hate her, I hate her. I'm so gonna kill her one day. And then, guess what the pastor said? He said, you, and he pointed church. I found life meaningless. And guess what I heard? On the stage, they sing a beautiful hymn of what's the meaning of life. Life is meaningful because He lives, because Jesus lives. So there's meaning in life. So things like that happen week after week, week after week. So I start to wonder, maybe there's God. So I prayed my first sincere prayer in life. How many of you have prayed sincerely? Good, thank you, most of us. If you haven't tried, try it, okay? Just pray, just pray. So I prayed my first ever sincere prayer. I said, God, if you really exist, okay? Because these people say you exist. If you really exist, please tell me, let me know. I want to know you if you are really there. So, nothing happened, okay? God didn't say anything. But God arranged an English teacher in my middle high school. Okay. So when I was about age 13, I went to school, and my English teacher in a public school, I didn't know she's a Christian, but she was, now I think about it. So she said, hey guys, do you want to learn English? Do you want to improve your English? You can go to this winter camp. No, it's really cheap. Just sign up and go there. So I said, oh, okay. Okay, I can go there and learn English. So I signed up. And on the third night, this is what they did. So all these English teachers, they acted, they did a drama. Okay. And the drama is something I'm really familiar with. It's how Jesus is born and died on the cross for our sin. I've seen this drama a million times in church while growing up. And it never touched my heart. But that night, Holy Spirit came and God just touched my heart. I was crying. I was thinking, why would an innocent person die for my sin? Who is this Jesus? I wanted to know him. So when they asked, do you want to raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus as your personal savior? And I couldn't help myself, but I raised my hand. So I accept Jesus as my personal savior. And then at age 15, I moved to Mississauga, Canada, right here with my parents. And then the story goes on. Okay, next. Thank you. Oh, oops. Sorry. Can you help me to flip it? Thank you. So, can you guys read this verse again? The thief. Neighbor, which is people, as yourself. So to me, How can you love people who are just annoying? Okay. How can you love God and love people with all your strength and with like just like yourself? With Great Commandment, it comes with what? The Great Commission. Okay, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Great Commandment and Great Commission comes in hand in hand. Okay? Without the Great Commandment, if you don't know how to love, you cannot fulfill the Great Commission. If you love, but you don't do the Great Commission, it's not really the kind of love God wants you to do. So what is abundant life? First, you have the ability to love, like how God loves. And second, you can use this heavenly love to fulfill your calling. Okay? You have a sense of purpose. You know why you are on earth. Okay? You are not just here waiting to die. There is a call. There is a purpose of your life. So I'm going to share with you briefly about my short-term mission trips in 7 countries. Okay, first, when I was age 17, okay, I was wandering around in church. I was bored looking around. And you know, there are always like those kind of flyers around. So I picked up one. Oh, there's a short-term mission trip. A week going to Montreal. So I was like, maybe I should sign up. So I signed up. I didn't really ask anybody, I just signed up. And in that trip, I feel like it's like heaven. It's so interesting. And then everything starts. Have you been to China, everyone? China? Yes. Yes, thank you. When I was in university, okay, I went to China. For actually the first time in my life, mainland China. I went with a bunch of Korean people. Okay? So they all spoke Korean. I don't understand Korean, but it's okay. We did our morning devotions. So what we do is we went into universities and campuses. At that time it was more open. It was easier to enter. You know what we do? We just walk around in the campus. When we meet people, we just talk to them. We go up to them and say, hi, do you want to know the gospel? We just make friends like that. Nothing hard, okay, nothing hard. And sometimes you think people don't want to hear the gospel, you know, but you're wrong. People want to hear the gospel. They want to know God. When we sit down with them, we tell them about the gospel. 50%, half of them accepted Jesus as their Savior right on the spot, which really, really amazed me how simple it is to share the gospel. I never thought I could be used by God like this way. And this is also the time that I understand the importance of reading a Bible. Do you guys read your Bible? How many of you love to read the Bible? Okay, so those who are older. So those of you who are younger, you have to listen to this. I was like you, okay? You know, when they say, okay, read the Bible, but it's kind of boring to read it. Okay? There are stories, but my mind wasn't really in it until this time when I was on a short-term mission trip. I was a long-time Christian already. So, in that morning, okay, we did our devotion, and I kept on hearing this word from God, don't lie, okay? It's really simple. I read a verse about Abraham lied about his wife being his sister. I just heard the Holy Spirit saying to me, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie. And guess what I did that day? I lied. I just made a lie. okay, and thank God these people I lied to, they did not come for the friends night. So read your Bible, because God speaks to you through it. This is another experience I had with my husband Tim in China. We went to China and we didn't know where we were going, actually, when we were there. We just met up with the people who are supposed to pick us up, and they drove us to this province and into this company. So everything is kind of in secret. And then the company is owned by a Chinese Christian. So he wants to share gospel with his employees. So in the summer, they set up this free summer camp where the employees' kids in summer, they can drop off their kids and they can come here and learn a lot of things for free. So we were there, we pray every morning at 5 a.m. and we try to share gospel with the kids. So every day we have a different lesson to teach them. You know, things you probably learned before. This world is created by God, okay? Adam and Eve sinned. That's why people have original sin. And then Jesus came to save us, okay? Things like that, very simple things. And guess what? By the end, all of them except one kid, okay? All the kids except one kid accepted Jesus. And I even asked them to come forward one by one. Okay, do you really tell me what you believe in? And the kids, they told me exactly what we taught them. So they actually really believed. It's really simple like that. How God can use you to change the world. Now this is South Korea. Any of you been to South Korea? Ah, you have. Do you like it? Oh, so maybe you can pray and maybe you can go again. So we went there for a mission conference, and right after the mission conference, what we do, we are sent out to the mission on the street. We have people from all nations. You can see from the photos, not just Korean, not just Asian. We have people from all nations. And we all stand in Korean, and we share the love of God right on the street. And then after this, we were sent to this something really interesting. It's called the Kochi trip. What's Kochi? The beggar's trip, okay? We are supposed to become beggars, okay? It is based on what Jesus and his disciples actually practiced back then. Not bring anything and just going to people's home and share gospel and you can eat from them. So we were sent to the countryside in Korea. And guess what happens when you want to be a beggar? What's the first thing? What's the first thing they do? Okay. If you were gonna, if they gonna turn you into a beggar.
Dirty clothes?
No, that's not the first thing, but what's the first thing? Yeah? Yes, you're smart. So our group leader came here with a bucket. Cell phones, wallets. So we gave all our cell phones and wallets. Without a phone, without a wallet, you are truly a beggar. You have no money and no way to contact anybody. And we're sent into the countryside of South Korea. And we live in a local church, a very tiny church. The church pastor passed away a few years ago, so it's the pastor's wife and her kids. They hosted us. We just slept on the floor. And we couldn't take shower because we were beggars, right? And God was so funny because right when we arrived there and we got off the bus and we were with our luggages, and God sent us a shower. So it started raining. It was muddy and we got dirty. So we did become truly beggars. And we slept on the church. And the next morning we would just go out around the countryside and knocking on people's doors. So in the countryside it's mostly like, you know, harmonies, halabochis, grandpas, grandmoms, okay, older people living in the house. So we will knock on the door, we tell them what we're doing, and if they want us in, and if they're willing to can invite us in their house and we can tell them the gospel. And if they want to even more, please treat us a lunch because we don't have food. Some of them really did. They show us, okay, we have some food there, you can cook by yourself there. So everyone spoke Korean, I didn't. So what's my job there? You might think, oh, I don't know the language, how can I share the love of God? How can you share the love of God if you don't know, if you don't speak Korean, you are in Korea? I did something really simple, my strength. Okay, so these people, my teammates, they are speaking Korean, what did I do? I massage. I gave massage to the grandmas, grandpas. Okay, so they feel really comfortable sitting there. And then they tell them about gospel. It was a lifetime memory. Really, really, really interesting. Yep. Do you guys know the 1040 window? Anybody? No. Okay, this is what they say, a section in the world that's least rich, which means they are, in ratio, they are least Christians. Okay, not so many Christians there. The gospel haven't been to this part of the world. And some of them we are called closed countries. Okay, whereas you cannot enter there as missionaries, pastors. Okay, they don't welcome. They have other religions and they are very harsh towards Christianity. So when I graduated the second year, I went back and I went to a place in the Middle East. Okay, this is Oman. I don't think any of you know, but it's okay because I didn't know where I was going. I signed up because I didn't know, I've never seen this name. That's why I said, oh, what's Oman? I've never heard of it, so I'm going there. So I signed up for it. So it's a Muslim country. And we did Muslim students and mercy ministries, and it's a cross-culture ministry. So before going, we had lots of prayers, lots of orientations, because it's a totally different culture. Okay. Something you know here might not apply there. For example, ladies, you have to wear a hijab. You have to wear even everything long. Okay, long sleeves, long skirts, not even pants. It's not allowed. There's one night we did a family visit and it was late, so the sisters, the girls, we left the house around 10 p.m. We were walking on the street, we were waiting for the guys to finish their visits. And guess what? There are cars driving by and they were honking at us and putting up numbers because they thought we were prostitutes, which is really sad. We were just wearing long sleeves, long skirts, walking on the street at 10 p.m. That's it. And it's super hot. The temperature is hot. It's like summer, double summer. And I love it because everyone eats on the floor. Do you like to eat with your fingers? I loved it. So the right hand is supposed to be for food, left hand for bathroom, right hand for food. So even in the restaurant, you can see we sit on the floor, we eat from the plates on the floor. Every morning, about 4:30 a.m., you will hear the mosque. Okay, 5 times a day is their prayer call. Okay, it's a totally different place. One day, the missionary told us, oh, there's a hurricane which destroyed Muscat. If you want to go, you can go, but there might not be electricity, might not be water. We don't know what's the situation there. The city is very great, you know, it's being destroyed. So these are the photos I took there. It's quite serious. You can see the roads being broken. You can see people's homes being flooded with mud. Our team, we all prayed and we all decided to go. took the shower and I tied my hair up. You know, I used a hairband. I put all my hair up. I cleaned myself up, ready for not being able to shower for 5 days in 45 degrees. So we went there, and it was really hot, and we just knocked on people's door, and we gave food to the people, and we tried to clean the mud for them. While we do everything, we pray for their salvation. In there, you have to drink water every 10 minutes, otherwise you get dehydrated. I've never sweat so much in my lifetime. It's like you're taking a constant shower all the time, because it's so hot and you're moving around. And in this country, we also collaborate with, partnering with the local schools. So these are our students. So I use my poor English to teach them English. So don't think that, oh, I don't know anything. You know, you can speak English fluently. There, you know a lot of things. And they've never heard of the Bible. They don't have even a Bible. Bible, New Testament is banned there. Okay? It's illegal. They don't even have Bible to read. You come here, you learn your Bible. You can tell them about what you learned here. You have a lot to offer. We build friendship with them. And the boys, the guys, they teach the boys class. At the end, we had a graduation and we performed a hymn with a dance. So this is the family visit we talked about. So during the family visit, we do a lot of cultural exchange. We experienced wearing their traditional clothes. So I became a ninja there. And they put on makeup for me. You can see it's a blue eyeshadow. Very, very fashionable. Bring us back to the 60s or the 80s. So we try to build friendship with them. We talk to them. This is Israel. Okay, so my husband studied in Israel for a year there. And when we were there, how many of you been to Israel? You have to go, but not now, okay, not now. Later. Pray they can finish everything and be back to peace and you can visit Israel. So there are a lot of Chinese international students there. So our condo is, our room is very, very tiny, okay? It's like, you know, maybe like a little bit bigger than this stage or about the stage, yeah. But we want to have a fellowship. We want, because the students, they're already in Israel. If you know Israel, it's biblical land, okay? It's where Jesus walked, it's where Jesus taught, okay? It's where the Old Testament, everything happened there. So these students from China, they are already in Israel, but many of them don't know the Bible. So we want to gather them. We gather them together in our tiny room. We just need a table and what? And food. How many of you like a good food, a good meal? Yes, yes. The food there is really expensive, okay? It's like twice or five times of the food in Canada. So if you have free food there, the people, the students, they will want to come. This guy here, he ate seven eggs each time. Seven eggs each time. So we boil a lot of eggs, we cook, and we talk about Bible. And because we are in Israel, we have the privilege to take them to the trips. And let's go for a tour. Do you like to travel? Do you like to travel? Any of you? Yeah. When you go on tours, you see different things. Your mind is open. Your eyes is open. So we go there. We go to where everything happens. And we flip to the Bible. We tell them the stories. We even visited a mock-up tabernacle. You learn a lot there. There's also once we thought, okay, we want to invite students for a free breakfast at our dorm. You know, the students we've never met before. So, you know, we have those maybe you have like Facebook groups, we have like WeChat groups. So we just drop off an app. Okay, so we just have, I'm Jessica, this is Tim, and we want to see if anybody would like to come to our dorm for a free breakfast and for a chat. We can talk about culture, history, religion, you know, arts, anything you're interested in. Now this is during the COVID time. Okay. In our minds, we thought it's COVID time. Who will wanna go to like a stranger's room? They might get caught, like they might get sick, things like that. But guess what? Two students showed up. So we had our breakfast from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. 4 hour breakfast brunch. We talked for 4 hours. And by the end, because it's a Friday and we're supposed to have fellowship on Fridays, I asked them, actually, 3 hours later, we do Bible study here. Do you want to come back? I mean, they just spent 4 hours in our room talking to us. And I invited them to come back after 3 hours. And one guy said, yes, sure, why not? I want to come back. And the next day, which is a Saturday, where in Israel they have a church on Saturday because it's a Sabbath day. So on Sundays, everyone works and goes to school. So after he came back, I asked him, the next day we actually have a Chinese church. Do you want to go with us? I mean, I just met him yesterday from 10 a.m. and then he spent 4 hours. And then he came back for another 3 hours. So he spent 7 hours with us, you know, on Friday. I asked him, do you want to go to church with us on Saturday? And he said, yes, why not? And he became a Christian after we left. Thank God. So don't be afraid, you know. You never know what people are thinking. You don't know. They are ready. They want to know Jesus. They want to hear the gospel. Maybe they want to know the Bible more than you do. So, here is this 7A guy getting baptized in Jordan River.
Needles. If you can see from the picture,
women there, a lot of them don't really go to school. They don't have the chance to go to school. Yes?
It's actually illegal. I'm pretty sure it's actually illegal when Taliban took over.
Okay, yeah. So a lot of ladies, they cannot go to school. And when they came to Greece, yes, they're safer, but they cannot find a job. They don't speak the language, they don't have education. So this organization, they try to help them through teaching them sewing, giving them a hands-on skills. So they actually come here and they get paid. So it's their work, okay? They get paid while they learn how to sew. And then they make different things, bags, purses, and sell them. So it's a great Christian organization. Do you have any hobbies? Your hobbies, anything you like, God can use it. I was able to join this Christian mission organization because I learned sewing. Why did I learn sewing? Because I like it. It's my hobby. So anything you're interested in, I encourage you to learn and to go deeper. If you like soccer, do it. If you like computer, learn more about it. If you like a language, learn it. And those of you who are Chinese, I encourage you to learn Chinese well, because God will use it. You know the four languages? You should learn and you will cover most of the world. English? What's the next one?
Mandarin.
Spanish and Arabic. Okay? Learn these four languages. You're so young, you have lots of time and life, and you have the ability to learn. So I learned sewing, so I was able to be there and help them. Not necessarily teach them, but I can share gospel with them. I can be their friends. We heard there's a Canadian missionary there. Okay, this is the Canadian guy, Michael, Pastor Michael. So we decided to check it out. Okay, so we went to this Canadian missionary founded church in Athens. And guess what? He's all by himself. That day he was preaching to nobody. If we didn't go, then he was preaching to the air. But he has so much courage. His sermon was so good. And I got to know him, and we got to know that he's doing missionary work also to the Afghanistan, to the refugee there. And this is the place. So next day, I decided to check out. So every week, he passed out free dinner to refugees. About 100 people. 100 people showed up for free food because they really need food. I've never seen this scene where, you know, it's something really, it's a really simple meal, but people wear their hijab, they take off their hijab, they wear their mask, To do what? Try to line up again and to get one more portion of food. And this is what they're fighting for. Maybe a boiled egg, a bread, and a potato. Sometimes banana, egg, and bread. Whenever Pastor Mike cooks the beef or the chicken, this place is like boom, explode. Maybe 200 people will show up. They will call each other, hey, there's beef today. Hey, there's chicken today. It's something so simple we take for granted. Now, if your parents give you banana and egg and a bread for a dinner, you probably get anyway, yeah? Like, ew, what's this? But for something like this, people were fighting over it. We also prepare Bibles in their language, Farsi. And Pastor Mike plays worship songs in Farsi every week. And sometimes international students over here to help out. So ever since I started going weekly. So 1 week, Pastor Mike told me, oh, last week, the kids, they destroyed the basement. Do you guys destroy the basement? Do you kick things around here? Okay, this kid did. So because it's so crowded up there, 100 people, and you know, no one has the time to look, to take care of the kids, and the kids were running around, they're breaking everything, you know, damaging the building, and Pastor Mike has to pay for it. So I told him, okay, from next week on, you take care of upstairs and distributing the food. I will come down here and I will start a drawing class for you. So I will take care of the kids and make sure they don't make a noise. They don't destroy the building anymore. So this is the kids' drawing lesson. And on the right hand side, you can see. Do you see how after a few months, the kids start to change? They started by fighting and making noise, and they started to taking care of the place. They were mopping the floor, they were mopping the tables, they were putting the chairs away. We see a change in them. By the last week, I knew I was, you know, coming home to Canada. So I thought, okay, I have to tell them the most important lesson in life. I have to tell them before I leave. I don't speak Farsi, I don't speak the language, they don't speak English. We actually cannot communicate, not too well, I mean. So every week I print out a sheet of you know, different cartoons, images for them to choose and draw. How many of you like drawing? No? Oh, that's sad. I'm a very good artist. If you like drawing, we can talk afterwards. So I print out things for them to draw. So the last week I thought, okay, I'm gonna teach them about love, the love of God. Love. Love is something I want to tell them. So I print out all these different images of love, you know, hearts, you know, maybe two puppies love each other. But I also print out a few tiny pictures of a cross and a heart. One third of them. I didn't tell them anything. Okay, I didn't say anything, but one third of the kids, guess what they picked? Yes?
The cross and the heart.
Yes, thank you. One third of the kids, without me telling them anything about Jesus, they picked the cross with the heart. You can see their joy in the middle. I was so moved. So even though we cannot communicate, but they know who we are and they know what we're trying to tell them. And Pastor Mike's organization, this is another ministry does, is the laundry ministry. How can laundry, how can washing clothes become a ministry? How many of you know how to use the laundry machine at home? Wow, you are very independent. Good, you're good. So it's something really simple. There are three washing machines. Okay, three washers there. When I went there, I was kind of late. I was late for 10 minutes. There were actually three people lining up already, waiting for me to open the door so they can wash their clothes. Why? These are, you know, kind of homeless or like sort of homeless people. They might not have a home. Even if they have a home, they might not have a washer at home, a machine at home. Even if they do have a washer at home, they don't want to spend the money on electricity and water. So they choose to come here to wash their clothes for free. So the poor people, they have a place to wash their clothes. So every week we do this for them. And this lady here, sometimes they are very interesting. She puts in some clothes and she puts in her belt and then she put in her hat. And then she put in her purse, and then she took out this, I don't know what's that called, a donkey from the Winnie the Pooh, that little character, a little stuffed animal, and she touched the head like Mr. Bean, like, oh, like as if she's taking this thing to a shower, jacuzzi, so, oh, and then I was like, oh, good, every time, that time, and then she put wash clothes for them. And by the end, they will say, Afaristo, which means thank you. And I pointed to the sky, say thank God. And they pointed to the sky, thank God. This is the love of God. We have so much we can offer. This is the third organization I went in Athens, the third Christian missionary organization. So one day this young lady, she's a missionary there, she told me she has a student, about 20, and she got a commission, she's also Afghanistan. She got a commission by a Christian guy who wants her to paint a famous painting by Dali, you know, crucifixion, Jesus on the cross, Mary watching. Okay, this is a famous, world famous painting. So he wants her to copy it and he will pay her for it. It's also a way to help her family. So she told me, can you come and teach her? So, you know, this is kind of hard. So I'm an art teacher, so this is very easy for me. So I said, sure, I want to come and help out. So her organization, they actually help the young, like younger ladies, younger girls, you know, from maybe middle high school to university and to 20s. So young girls, the same idea, because young Afghanistan girls, even though they are in Greece now, their parents will tell them, don't go to school. You're a girl, you don't need education. Okay, stay home, help your mom cook, clean the floor, help your brothers and sisters, take care of them. So a lot of them, they don't go to school. So they come here, you know, whenever they want, for a simple lesson like art lessons or to learn about, you know, how to take care of themselves, things like that. Everything is free. It's a Christian organization. So I was focusing on her, helping her to finish the painting. And their family is really lucky because they got accepted by Germany. So they are ready to move to Germany. And so she has to finish the painting. So I went to her home for a family visit and helped her to finish the painting. So we painted for a long time, and then it's almost dinner time, and her parents invited me to stay for dinner. So Butterfly is her two sisters and her parents. They all like to do this. So because I don't know why TBS is very popular in Afghanistan. So they all know this. Okay, so they put up a very simple dinner. You know, it's actually just a few chicken wings. Very little. So I wasn't taking any. I pretended like I ate, but I don't want to be a burden to their family economy. And before we start eating, everyone was quiet, sitting there looking at each other. So I was like, okay, can we eat? It's our time to eat. And her mom said something, and she translated, my mom wants to ask you, can you pray for us? I said, really? Do you want me to pray for you in Jesus' name? And she said, yes. So right on the spot, I say grace to the food, I pray for the dinner, okay, I pray for their future, I pray for the family in the name of Jesus. It's a Muslim family. It's amazing how God works. We never ever force anything to anybody. We simply share the love of God. Simply live out your abundant life. Her sister showed me the cake she makes. See the colorful cake there, the green, blue, pink. It's such an ugly cake. I've never seen such an ugly cake. But she showed me, she said, I want to be a baker. I said, good job. And I told her, you know what? Next week is actually my birthday. Can I buy a cake from you? And she was so happy. So I ordered the cake from her and she delivered to the organization. For my birthday, is this brown chocolate cake. It's my birthday cake. It's like the most, I mean, the ever had. Because I know through this, I helped a girl to build her faith. And I helped her family. Do you guys know what happened in Turkey last year in February?
We brought so much joy to the kids.
might be used, and they did. Okay, so we started like drawing class, and the kids, because they have nothing to do, they're living in tents now. Nothing is, and all the buildings are gone. So they're so happy, drawing. And these are Syrian kids. Okay, they're Syrian kids in Turkey. So they flip. They might like they fled from Syria. And then they came to Turkey as maybe a refugee, and then they got into this earthquake, which made their life twice harder. And the Turkish government, they tried to help, you know, the Turkish people first. So the Syrian kids, I mean, the Syrian people, it's like secondary. I mean, they don't really take them as priority, so they have nothing to do there. They are so happy drawing. By the end of the drawing session, guess what happens? All of my markers are gone. They just disappeared. Vanished. From Earth. I don't see any pencil, any markers, any color pencil anywhere on the table. I don't see them holding anything on their hand. They took them. Yeah. That shows what they needed, they wanted so much. Who would steal like one marker and put it in their pocket? There's so much need. We have, what's a marker to us? Nothing. We throw it around, right? You probably never touch your markers at all. But for them, it's like a treasure. They want to take it. During that time, we keep on hearing this Turkish word, abisu, abisu, abisu. What's abi? Abi means big brother, gege, big brother. Su is water. Gege, 我要水. Brother, little, big brother, I want water, water, water. So we found out, actually, the thing they needed the most urgent thing is, there's a lack of water. They want water. It's so hot there. You won't believe it. So we say, okay, we need to go and go to a place where we can find like lots of water. So we drove around, you know, Google Map doesn't really work there anymore. We drove around Google Map. All the roads are different now because of the earthquake. And all the shops, some of them are vanished. I mean, some of them are destroyed. We found one left. This little shop here, it's kind of damaged, but it's still running. So they sell a lot of drinks and they do have water. So first we bought some bottles of water from them. And then later on we found out a bigger place where they can sell more water. So we got them lots of water. And we just did something really simple. Give them water, distribute water to them. So we distribute the waters to the 200, 300 tents. So each tent get one big bottle or two. This is like the happiest day in their life. Everybody came out. Everybody came out to see the water. While they are distributing the water, I went to visit a little girl's home. The little girl said, come, come. I'll show you my home. So, top right, this is the tent they live in. It's really, really hot there. And she told me all her family, nine people sleep in this tent. You won't believe it. By the end, they wave us saying goodbye. They were so happy. They were so happy, filled with joy and love. So this is my prayer. Dear Lord, please give me an abundant life so I may be a blessing to others. Do you want to have an abundant life? Do you have something to give to others? You can bring the heavenly blessing to others. You can bring the love of God to others. Satan comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Satan wants your life to be a mess, to be meaningless, to be a boring life. Jesus came that you may have life and have it abundantly. What is abundant life? A Abundant life is a life that has fully experienced God. Have you ever experienced God? Have you ever? Pray. Tell God, I want to experience you. I want to know if you are real. I want to have stories of you in my life. Abundant life is a life filled with love, joy, peace of God. Do you feel filled with joy? Are you happy? With love, with peace? Do you have a purpose and calling? Abundant life is a life of passion. You know why you are on earth. You know why God brought you on earth at this time, at this moment, at this place. You have a purpose and calling. Abundant life is a life that has the ability to give to this unkind world. This world is not too pretty sometimes. But if you have the love of God, you have the ability to give. By the end, I want to ask you two questions, and I want you to raise your hand in response. Later on, I'll do a prayer. If you want to say yes, you can raise your hand. Okay, so my questions are, do you want to have a life? My second question is, do you want to have it abundantly? Do you want to live a life that you can love, like how God loves, and to fulfill your calling by sharing this love? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much because you have chosen us. That's why we can sit here. We can sit in safety, in peace, and hear your gospel. That's why you've given us godly parents, Christian parents. So we know you. We know you since we're born. God, this is arranged by you. Although maybe some of us, we've never really experienced you, but we want to hear your voice. We want to be saved. We want to be away from sin. We want to find the meaning of life. We want to experience you in our life. God, we just pray that you can touch our heart every day. You can speak us. Our life can be filled with the passion. Our life can be filled with meaning, filled with a sense of purpose from you. God, protect us from Satan, so we may walk in light. At this time, I will ask all of you still remain eyes closed. If you want to respond, just raise your hand. So my first question, do you want to have life, a life that's given by Jesus Christ? To be saved, do you want to open your heart and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, as your God, and follow Him? If you want to, you can raise your hand. You raise your hand to God. Thank you. You can put down your hands. My second question is, maybe you've been saved, maybe you've accepted Jesus before. You are a Christian. But do you want to live it abundantly? Do you want to have an abundant life? A life in its fullest. A life filled with love of God. Do you want to fulfill your calling by sharing this love? Do you want God to tell you what you can do for Him? Do you want to have an abundant life? If you do, you can raise your hand. If you want to have an abundant life, raise your hand. Thank you. I'll close. God, you've seen all those who raised their hands to you. I pray the Holy Spirit fill them up. Fill them up. That all the past is past, but lead us forward. We do not want to waste any seconds of our life. And we want to share this love to the world. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.